This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Good Tuesday to you. You want basketball? You got basketball. You got play-in basketball tonight in the NBA. Yesterday, Ron and I were talking. Look, I never really thought that the NBA's playoffs were broken enough to play around with it. But I do remember that in 2018, the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves played a final game. And that game was for the eighth seed in the Western Conference. It was the final regular season game of the year. And it was on national TV. And I wonder if the NBA looked at that and went, you know what? Can we get that kind of enthusiasm guaranteed every single year? This is kind of cool. This kind of worked out. And then the bubble occurred in 2020, and they went, you know what? Let's implement that. That's what we get. That's what we get tonight. So here's the complicated play-in thing. Well, it's not really that complicated, but this is how you got to follow it in order to get to the first round of the playoffs coming up this weekend. So tonight, you've got Cleveland and Brooklyn. They're going on in the Eastern Conference. Winner of that game, they get a first-round matchup with the Boston Celtics because they will be the seventh seed out of the East. The Los Angeles Clippers will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The winner of that game later on tonight out in Minnesota, they get the Memphis Grizzlies in round one because they'll also be a seventh seed. But the loser of those two games will have to sit and wait. And they'll have to sit and wait until they play either Charlotte or Atlanta in the Eastern Conference because those two teams will play on Wednesday. Loser goes home. The winner will get the loser of the Tuesday matchup in the East. So in the West, San Antonio takes on New Orleans. Loser goes home, and the winner of that game plays the loser of Tuesday's Western Conference matchup for the right to be the eighth seed. Now, if you're lucky enough to advance as an eighth seed in the East, you'll get the Miami Heat in round number one. And if you're lucky enough to get the number eight seed in the East Western Conference, you get the Phoenix Suns. Is it confusing enough? Well, again, not that complicated, but this is how they're going. They guaranteeing that the energy and excitement of a one-and-done type of scenario is going to entice you this week to be all in on the NBA playoffs. Think of this as the first four matchups in the NCAA tournament. It's not quite the NCAA tournament yet, but you get a little bit of an appetizer for it. It's not the NBA playoffs yet. This is the play-in tournament, but it's the appetizer for the big seven-game series that we're going to get this weekend in round number one.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, love having you on. Thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. That's how you can hit the show. You can also follow us on Facebook at Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. We'd love to see you there as well. Participate in the conversation. So, as I said at the top of the hour, the play-in games are tonight. They're not the NBA playoffs. The NBA is going to try to say it's the postseason, but it's not really the postseason. It's the play-in to get the postseason. Now, to me, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. The NCAA basketball tournament tried this when they made the first four. They said, oh, this is round one. And everyone's like, no, it's not. And they're like, no, it is. Call it round one. They're like, no, we won't. And they're like, no, it's round one. And we went, no. And then they finally went, okay, don't call it round one. Call it the play-in games. Call it the first four. And we were like, yeah, we always have. So the NBA is going to try to do the same thing. The postseason is not really starting. Yes, these are technically playoffs. But again, think of it like the first four. It doesn't feel that way. We're not in seven-game series yet. We're not getting into that point where the lineup is complete. The play-in games symbolize that there is some extra work that has to be done. Think of it as like overtime, right? It's just overtime of the regular season rather than the preseason of the playoffs. Does that make any sense? So that's where we're at right now. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some intriguing matchups here, right? Cleveland and Brooklyn. Now, Brooklyn is probably the more intriguing matchup because everybody's wondering, when is Brooklyn going to explode with greatness, right? When is Brooklyn going to come together and be the tour de force people thought that they were going to be? Well, at the beginning of the season, remember, they had James Harden. And they had James Harden and a Kyrie Irving that was only going to play on the road. He couldn't play at home. And so there was a little concern about that. And, of course, they had Kevin Durant. But James Harden is gone. Ben Simmons is yet to play. They don't know if Ben Simmons will play. He actually might. How would that work? We have no idea, right? But Brooklyn hasn't been this juggernaut team since Kyrie Irving has been cleared to play at the Barclays Center. Like, people thought that would happen, right? They would, you know, Kyrie would, you know, get with Kevin Durant, and now they'll be more consistent. And they would play. Nope, hasn't happened. Cleveland's no joke. Cleveland's a tough team, and especially for a Brooklyn team that's iffy. Now, remember, the loser of this game is not done. The loser of this game still has an opportunity to get the 8 seed, which, no offense to the Miami Heat, I kind of think you would. The Celtics are rock solid playing basketball. Back in January, the Celtics kind of stunk. They were like 500, kind of mediocre. And they have torn through their schedule since then. They're one of the best teams in basketball right now. And that's the way they've been playing. You know, I mean, they've gotten a lot of production from a lot of different people. They are really gelling. And their defense is a lot better. I don't know if this Boston team is what I would face. Now, Miami, again, is the number one overall seed. And you know, Tyler Hero coming off the bench is averaging over 20 points a game. Right? I mean, they're, again, one of those teams that kind of lives and dies with Jimmy Butler. But the reality is, I think I would rather take my chances against Miami in the opening round than I would the Celtics. But that's what awaits the Eastern Conference teams in this play-in game. The other matchup will be Wednesday. The Atlanta Hawks. Remember, we loved the Atlanta Hawks last year, right? They made their run to the Eastern Conference Finals. But
God, was that last year?
That was last year. Wasn't that amazing?
Why does that feel like it was 5 years ago?
I know. It does feel a while ago, doesn't it? I don't know. I thought as I got older, time was supposed to slow down. Increase. As I got older, I was supposed to wake up and go, yeah. Oh my God, it's 2026? I thought it was just 2022. Where did 4 years go? I thought that was supposed to happen to me. Instead, I feel like last year was like ancient history. Yeah. The fun Atlanta Hawks of last season ended up getting in a play-in matchup with Charlotte in a do-or-die game Wednesday night. That's what you got. Atlanta's not playing bad. They're playing pretty good to close out the season. But the winner of that game gets the loser of Cleveland-Brooklyn, and then that team gets the Miami Heat in the opening round. The Western Conference is a little interesting because the Clippers just got Paul George back. I mean, they just got Paul George back. So this isn't exactly the same Clippers team that is the play-in team that has been playing up and down this season. They're obviously playing a lot better with Paul George in the lineup. But Minnesota has got Karl Anthony Towns, and he's been playing great. This is going to be a good matchup tonight. But again, the winner of this game moves on, and they get the Memphis Grizzlies, who just got Ja Morant back in the lineup. Everybody's getting kind of healthy now. And then the Phoenix Suns are going to await either the loser of that game against either San Antonio or New Orleans. So there you go. Enjoy the play-in tournament. But like I said, I never thought this was broken to begin with. I think the NBA just, again, a couple of years ago, it was a random coincidence. Minnesota and Denver were scheduled to play the final game of the regular season. It just so happened that it was a winner-take-all game for the 8th seed in the West. And I think the NBA went, that's kind of cool. Why don't we do that? That'll be neat. So they're guaranteeing you the sort of do and die nature of that particular game every single year. Because two of these teams are going home. Two of these teams are only in this for a very short amount of time. Two teams will be done on Wednesday night. So when Charlotte and Atlanta play and San Antonio and New Orleans play, two of those teams will be done. And that'll leave six. Two will advance, and that'll leave four. And then those four teams will play on Friday for the right to advance on to the playoffs. And then everything else, then the playoffs start on Saturday. And you've got matchups like Toronto and Philadelphia, which should be pretty good. That's a 4-5 matchup. And you got Dallas and Utah. That should be pretty good. That's a 4-5 matchup. Memphis is scheduled to play on Saturday against the opponent to be named later. And then Denver will take on Golden State. Man, the Nuggets. If they get any one of their players back that have been injured, Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr., watch out for the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic he is he's dragging this team kicking and screaming to a level of greatness. He's my vote for MVP. So it doesn't come as a shock. It's probably a lot of people's vote for MVP. The Bulls will take on Milwaukee. That game will be on Saturday. And now the playoffs are rocking and rolling and underway. And this is where it's fun. This is where you play one game on Saturday and then you don't play again until Tuesday. There's a lot of space in between the games as everybody gets their share. Saturday, if you like the NBA, and I know some of you do, and you know, some of you are huge fans and some of you don't, but Saturday, there are 5 playoff games. It's going to be like Christmas, only mid-April. Does that make sense? Remember on Christmas?
Christmas in April.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not going to be day.
That's always been a thing.
Yeah. I think there will be. I think it does start. It doesn't start like Christmas where it starts at noon. I don't think they're starting any of the games at noon, although the times have yet to be determined. But I do think they're running a lot of games on Saturdays.
Does the NBA have the longest postseason?
That's a great question.
Because it feels like,
it does.
They're starting now.
I think the NHL is close, but the NHL doesn't seem to do that thing where they play game one,
yeah,
and then 4 days later they play game two. I think the NHL is we play every other day.
Because they're starting now, and then they don't finish until, mid-June?
Yeah, mid-June. And probably late June, given this little start date of the 16th. Usually you get it a little earlier. But mid to late June is when that wraps up. It is crazy. That's a long time. When I was a kid and you were a kid, the NBA playoff championships were always in late March. I mean May. I'm sorry,
yeah.
May. They're always around May. That's when the Celtics and Lakers would play each other in late May. That's when they play. Then it kind of trickled into June, but there was the famous Memorial Day Massacre, which the Celtics destroyed the Lakers in game one of the NBA championship, I should say. And it was an annihilation. Boston obliterated the Lakers, obliterated them. And the Lakers won the series in 6. It's one of the more famous forewarnings that you give your team when they annihilate an opponent in game one of a series. You always remember, don't forget the Memorial Day Massacre. Celtics looked like they were going to kill the Lakers, and the Lakers went, one game, that's all it was, one game. Win by 2, win by 50, doesn't matter to us, it's just one game. And then they took the series in 6. So I think that was, if I'm not mistaken, 1985, but I'm going to have to look that up. That's just coming off the top of my head.
I'll go with you on that one.
Yeah, it might be. I'm not sure. Might be 87. Who knows? They met a couple of times in the 80s, so I'm trying to figure it out. You know what's funny? You and I have talked about the Celtics-Lakers in the 80s, and the Celtics have won 3 titles in the 1980s. 3. 2 of them were against the Houston Rockets, and only one was against the Lakers. Well, the Lakers got 5, and in 2 of theirs were against the Sixers, 1980 and 1982. So there you go. All right, coming up next, we'll talk more about the NBA playoffs, but we're going to get back into the NFL as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Michael on Twitter, thanks. Yeah, it was 1985, the Memorial Day Massacre. 148-114 was the final score of that game back in 1985, Ron. Celtics at home at the Garden on that old parquet destroyed the Lakers. But Los Angeles would then take game 2 of that series, and they would win the NBA Finals in 6. So be careful. When you lose game one, when you win game one by a million, thinking that the series is over.
Scored all your points in that first game.
That's right. You probably scored all your points in that first game. That's exactly right. So, I said we were going to talk some NFL, but I didn't tell you what we were going to talk about because I didn't really want to tease it because I don't think this is a teasing type of
type of topic. But I wanted to bring up something that we talked about yesterday, which was the passing of Dwayne Haskins. And Adam Schefter, who had posted a tweet about it, and in the tweet, and this was the tweet to announce or to report that Haskins was killed, he had tweeted that Haskins struggled in his career against Washington. And people thought that was very insensitive, that instead of just saying 24-year-old NFL quarterback Dwayne Haskins was killed after being hit on the South Florida highway, that Schefter infused his own commentary on the career of Dwayne Haskins. It didn't seem very appropriate. That tweet was deleted. Schefter apologized for that. And I said yesterday that I'm going to give him a little bit of a break. I like Adam Schefter. I worked with him in Denver, or knew of him in Denver. We kind of knew each other covering the Broncos before he went big time. I like him. I think he's a very, very good guy. I think it was one of those things that sometimes journalists do where they just report and they try to pull emotion out of it when they report, and sometimes there's a little bit of insensitivity. He's not the first one to do this. He's not the last. But I completely understand people being upset at him, and everybody had a right to be upset with him. It wasn't a very good look. It didn't read very well. It didn't feel like it was appropriate. And when you kind of looked at it, you went, yeah, this isn't – rethink this one. Rethink this one. We also talked about Gil Brandt and his comments. Those were a little I'm a lot less forgiving on those. Gil Brandt, who said that, he was living to be dead. If he stayed in school, he wouldn't do stupid things like jogging on a highway, even though there was no evidence whatsoever that Dwayne Haskins was jogging on the highway. He was just trying to cross the street from the only thing we know about it. We still don't know a thing about it other than he was trying to cross over the highway very early in the morning while he was down in Miami working out with Steelers quarterbacks and wide receivers in an organized activity that was done by Mitch Trubisky. We don't know why he was crossing over the highway. We don't know what propelled him to do that. That's the only thing we have. And Gil Brandt went the extra 5 miles to talk about his character in a way that was very, very, very disrespectful. I don't think in Schefter's case he was trying to be disrespectful. I think he was just reporting what, is he lives in a Twitter world. I mean, Twitter, I don't know. Like, I got into this business, without all the social media stuff. And I wasn't a print reporter. I was a radio reporter. That's where I spent the first part of my career. Part of my career was being assigned to games as a radio reporter. And I would go and I would do things called a wrap, right? So the wrap would be if I went to a Patriots game, I would get the audio and then I would run back to the studio and, hour or so back to the studio. And then I would have my audio cuts and then I would record for the morning sports a wrap where I would say, the Patriots beat the Miami Dolphins 28-14 in Foxborough, and Drew Bledsoe threw 3 touchdowns, whatever it was. And then I would play sound bites. And then at the end, I would say, Tony Desiri, WGIR Sports. And that's what I did. That was my job. That was my first job. So I got sent to all these places. And this is back again, there was no internet. So there's no way to, nowadays it's a lot easier. Like you can get audio online. You don't have to go as much, you don't have to be in attendance. And my job was to go to everywhere and stick a microphone in everybody's face. So I didn't have the print angle to it where I had deadlines and trying to get a story complete and whatnot. But I do know a lot of people, that as I've gone through my career that have gone into the print industry, right? They went from the 80s and 90s to where it is today, which is a Twitter world of get it first. Even if you have to polish it up later, just be the first. Adam Schefter is making, what, $8 million a year now? I think they re-signed him for $8 million a year from ESPN to be their NFL insider. And you are not an NFL insider if you are getting things from somebody else. So if you're just copying whatever Jay Glazer reports on or anybody else in the business, Peter King or whoever, if that's all you're doing, you're not worth it. You're only worth it because you are the authority and you are getting the story and you are connected to that story. Now, this is no excuse for not knowing what you're putting out there. All right. I mean, Schefter should have really thought about that tweet because it was an insensitive tweet. I mean, to take a young man who lost his life, who had people who loved him, and then to sort of smear his professional career to remind everybody that, yes, this person died, but he also wasn't very good at quarterbacking in the National Football League, just in case you were wondering, was a very insensitive thing to do. It is absolutely irrelevant what Dwayne Haskins was as a football player. Completely irrelevant. I don't care if he's good, bad, promising, a bust. It is irrelevant. A 24-year-old man lost his life under circumstances we may never know why he was crossing over that highway. But that's the world we live in, where everything is fast and everything has to be quick. Schefter's got a great job. He's well-connected and he's paid well in the league. But I'm telling you right now, he is under more stress than I think anybody in the business. I think he's under more stress than Woj, who covers the NBA. I think he's under more stress than Jeff Passan, who covers Major League Baseball. I mean, these guys are insiders. Again, they are supposed to know before you know, before anybody knows. They're supposed to know before players know.
You get your information from them.
Yeah, that's how it works.
The perfect example is Woj. Woj knew that Frank Vogel was going to get fired.
That's exactly right.
Frank Vogel was like, I haven't heard anything.
The Lakers told Frank Vogel, Woj, before they told Frank Vogel. Right? I mean, that's how it works. You are that dialed in. But it comes with tremendous pressure. You never are on vacation. And when you're on vacation, unfortunately, you have to have a very, very understanding spouse that understands you have a couple of cell phones around with you at all times. You're going on that hike to that waterfall in Hawaii. So as much money as Adam Schefter makes, when does he have time to really spend it? Because you are constantly, the league is 24 hours all the time, and you don't get a chance to really take a break. Now, I'm sure he's got it in his contract that he's going to take time off, and when he does, these are the people that are, but still, your reputation with the public doesn't care if you're on vacation or not, right? Your reputation with the public is, did you get that first? And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. It's a hard business to do that in, right? You mean you want to make sure you know what's going on, and you need to know what's happening. You know, Tony Kornheiser used to tell a funny story. I think I've shared this with her. I remember Tony Kornheiser talking about this story about how when Charles Barkley was playing with the Philadelphia 76ers, Kornheiser said all the the beat reporters who covered the Sixers, they could never leave until Charles Barkley was in his car and drove away, because Barkley was such a crazy, an interview that you never know what he was going to say. So if you covered the Sixers, you'd write your game story. But if Barkley had not left yet, meaning got in his car and left the arena, then you might have missed out on something, because he was prone to say things like, as he was leaving, oh, yeah, and the coach should be fired. Or, oh, yeah, the owner should be killed. Like little funny things like that. Or sometimes they were serious. Like he would say, like, that player should be traded. I don't want to play with him anymore. He was that explosive. And you had to wait until he was done, because if you went to bed, filing your story, and the next day the other three newspapers in town had Barkley said coach should be fired, and you didn't have that as your job. That was your job. So again, Schefter is under that kind of scrutiny all the time from his bosses. Why did Glazier get this? Why did King get this? Why, because guys are more dialed in. You ever notice that Jay Glazier talks a lot about the people he knows in the league? Yeah, you ever notice, like, when he's on Fox and he goes, I spoke to so-and-so, and I spoke to this so-and-so, because that's what they're trying to do. They're selling you their product, which is them, and the knowledge that they're going to bring to you all the time. Schefter does it, too. I had a chance to talk to Mike Tomlin. I had a chance to talk to Aaron Rodgers. I had a chance to talk to Tom Brady. It's because when they do that, they're selling you their brand, and their brand is, trust me, I'm all over it. But he took a huge misstep. And that's the other downfall in this Twitter age. He took a huge misstep, because I don't think he realized the backlash of people who saw that tweet, who have nothing to do with Dwayne Haskins at all. Not a fan of his, didn't follow Ohio State, didn't follow his career in Washington, couldn't have cared less that he was on the Steelers. I think there were a lot of people who saw that and said, man, that's out of bounds. That is out of bounds. That is not cool. You don't comment on somebody's failed career or struggling career after they passed away. There's a time and a place for analysis of what they meant in the league, not when you're posting of their untimely death. All right, Stoney D, Ron Culver, this is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Good morning.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call. Last night, my wife said to me, she goes, you want to go to this new burger place? And I said, sure, but I'm kind of on this, I don't want to say I'm like on this no-cal carb diet, but I'm on a low-carb diet. So I said, yeah, you know, usually when we go to a burger place, I'll just get a burger. I'll either eat half the bun or whatever. I'm just trying to lose a little weight. I don't know about anybody else, but I had the double whammy of weight gain. Meaning, I always gain weight during the holidays because I eat like a pig and I eat a lot of sweets. But then right after that, like within 3 weeks of the holidays, I got COVID. And I was in isolation for like 4 days. And all I did was eat and watch TV. And so I ended up gaining even more weight. But we went to this place and it was closed. It was just closed. And my wife said, oh yeah, a lot of these restaurants in our town are closed because of labor shortage. So they're just going, fine, you know what, we're closing on Monday and Tuesday. Or we're closed on Wednesday and Monday, whatever it is. And this burger place, it's new in our town, is already closed 2 days during the week because they can't get enough help. And I was like, man, that's too bad. So you know where we went? We went to this new pizza place. I told my wife, I said, I like going out to dinner with you, but you're very carb-oriented. I had pizza last night. Ugh, it was killing me. I don't know if this is going to work for me. I got to stop dieting. It never works out. Every time I start one, and then after a while, I just give up. I don't know which one works.
Don't they say it's not dieting, it's not cutting food out of your life, it's just eating in moderation.
Yeah, and that's what I told my wife. I said, listen, I'm not going on no strict diet. Like I said, it's more, for me, it's not no carb. That's silly. Like to me, for me, not to have any bread is ridiculous. I like pasta. I like bread. But you know what it is? Don't go for seconds, right? Take a smaller portion. Eat more vegetables. When I go out to dinner and I order a steak, instead of getting macaroni and cheese and a baked potato, which is just insane, why don't I just fill up with starch? Get broccoli.
Yeah.
Get a salad. Like make decisions like that. Stop. Like I got to cut snacking. I treat myself to a dessert once a week rather than every other day. So those are the little things that I'm doing. Because that's the only way I can mentally do it. You know, last night we went out for pizza. Yeah, I didn't get, you know, I just went with the small pepperoni. That was it. And, you know, kept it up like that. But I don't know. COVID really, I gained a lot of weight during COVID.
All I did was snack.
I snacked like you would not believe. And my wife went out, and, you know, she was trying to make me feel better because I was like stuck in a room and she was like buying me things I like to eat. And I was just like, I had a pile of it. And I was like if you took a picture of it without any context, you would be like, this is the saddest man in America. Look at him. He's got a bag of Doritos and a Diet Mountain Dew. How pathetic is this? Just sitting there watching TV on a nice wintry day. And that was it. So, yeah, but, you know, that's how I'm rolling along. So if I get a little grouchy over the next couple of days, it's because I don't have my normal, you know, sweetened, caloried stuff. Like I'm eating more eggs in the morning for breakfast and whatnot. Yeah, that's basically it. But, you know, this new pizza place that we went to last night, that was packed. It was fun. It was brand new. We'll see if it lasts. We got so many restaurants in our town. They last like 6 months, and then out of nowhere they go, yeah, we're closing. What is it with the labor shortage? People aren't working. I'm not keeping up with this.
I don't get it either.
I'm like, I do this. Like this is what I do.
Yeah.
And people, I'm telling you, there are people that would slaughter my whole family to get a morning show in this business. You know what I mean?
Well, don't put it out there.
I'm not going to put it out there. You know, God. We're kind of in a crazy business because a lot of people want to do this. And
yes.
They want to jump in. And yet there's other industries where they're
but
like,
then you
want
to say to them,
get...
do you like waking up and starting work before rises?
Yeah, when the alarm clock goes off, are you that excited to get out of bed? Yeah, you are for the first couple of shows.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you're like, oh, goodness. But like, seriously, like there are not to get off the subject because I wanted to get to this other thing. But there are like jobs I see in town, like dishwashers at restaurants paying like $17 an hour.
Yeah.
Like I was,
I'm with you on this thing. I mean,
I was a dishwasher at 15 in 1985. I was a dishwasher at a restaurant for like $3.75 an hour.
I mean, everywhere you go, it feels like you know there's more and more jobs opening up, and I don't know. Is it because you know are people just not going back to work, or
I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of funny.
It is very bizarre.
Or are they creating more jobs and saying, you know, we have spots to fill because we can afford to hire people, but, you know, we can't afford. I don't know.
My friend worked at this restaurant in our town for a couple of years before he went off to college. And he graduated with a kid who wasn't going to college. And he worked at the restaurant with my son. He worked in the back of the house. He was working as a cook. And they, you know, when my son came back, he went to go back work at the restaurant. And he told me, he goes, he's making enough money that him and his girlfriend are starting to look for a house. Like he's got a career. Like he's a grill cook and he's working his way through, you know, to be a manager and whatnot. But he's already at 18, 19 years old. He's already at a job that pays pretty well. He's not like making zilcho. You know, he's making really decent money. And I said, yeah, it's kind of a weird economic time now. Because that wasn't the case when I was young. You know, when I was young, you went to school, you got out, you still got a low paying gig and you worked your way up. But he says, no, he's making, like, if the dishwasher's making 17, he's making really good money cooking behind the grill. Just a weird, weird time. But at the same time, when they can't get people, that's what happens. Like restaurants that would be open 7 days a week are now open five. And that's basically it. So didn't want to get on my economic tangent, but I wanted to just throw that out there. All right, before we get more into the NBA playoffs, I want to talk about one particular team. Hey, a reminder that Freol Deep Penetrating Oil delivers three times more lubricant. So this takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. It's also body shop safe, and that's important because it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone free. Give Freol Deep Penetrating Oil a chance, whether it's exhausted manifold removal, rusty chains and gears, pillow blocks, brake caliper removal, axle nut removal, corroded U-bolts. I don't even know what some of these things are, but if you are familiar with these, Freol Deep Penetrating Oil will work for you. You can find them at AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa, and also select Walmart stores. It's Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. That's the one thing I regret in my life. I wish I learned cars better. I wish I had learned automobiles. I wish I could do basic repairs. It's never too late in life, kids. Learn those kind of things. That's what they should teach you in school. They should teach you how to balance a checkbook, banking, investing, and also how to do minor repairs on your vehicle. Exactly how does your vehicle work? So my daughter bought a radio for her car, and one of the neighbor kids that we've known for a long time, he knows how to install it. And he's coming over to help her install it. And I told him, I said, that's a great skill to have. I'm her dad. I should be doing that for her. Yeah. I'm a failure of a dad. I have no idea how that works. To me, when I turn the radio on in the car and I get radio, it's sorcery. It's magic. I have no idea how it's even connected to the vehicle.
Hey, it blows my mind that I can control the volume for my steering wheel.
I know, right?
What is this?
It's nuts. Next thing you know, we'll be controlling it with our minds.
That's right.
You know, no kidding.
I know exactly how you feel. My younger brother can change brake pads.
See, that's awesome.
I don't know where he learned how to do that.
I know, right?
I mean, we grew up together. And I mean, obviously, I left to go to school, college, and he didn't. I mean, he was still, I mean, he's younger than me. He's like 12 years younger than me. But somewhere along the way, he learned how to change brake pads.
Now, I do know how to change oil. I think a lot of people know how to change their oil. But I don't do it. And
no.
I won't do it. I'll never do it. Never, ever. I will never put my car up, go. I'm not going underneath a car, okay? I'm just done. That's part of my life is over. Never going underneath a car to change oil. That's not happening.
I would go underneath the car, like when you go to your oil change place and they have that whole room underneath.
Yeah, yeah, I'll
do
that. Yeah, if my house was built like that, where I had like an underground sort of underneath the garage place.
Yep.
That's how, I would change my oil.
Or if
but
you
I'm
could
not
race,
hoisting
if
it
you
up
could
on
lift
a thing.
Your car up, I would do that.
Exactly.
But, you know, just putting it on like, you know, a standard jack that you have in the trunk
mm-mm,
of your car. No.
Mm-mm. No, exactly.
Because, you know, you have the same fear as me. You're going to hit it with your elbow. Now
that's
you're stuck.
It. Now I'm stuck. Never getting out. You ain't going to unwheel me out of that car. Forget it. That's basically it. All right, so again, the NBA playoffs are playing games tonight and tomorrow. I have ripped the NBA for a lot of years because I've always felt like there were two constants in the NBA for a couple of years. This is when, picture LeBron in Miami/Cleveland and Golden State winning a lot of stuff. Like, picture those two things, that era of time in the 2010s, right? And there were two consistent things that you could count on in the NBA playoffs every single year. LeBron was going to get to the finals with whatever team he was on, with whatever roster he had around him, because the Eastern Conference was crap, and the Golden State Warriors were the best team in the NBA. And that period of time was like, it was bizarre because the run the Golden State Warriors were on captivated a lot of people. They liked the Splash Brothers. Curry was becoming a megastar. They played very entertaining basketball, and LeBron went from young superstar face of the league, he was going to be the next Kobe Bryant, to massive villain for dumping on his team and moving to Miami, then NBA champion while he was down there, to sort of this respected, you know, athlete, a guy that went back to Cleveland to try to rectify the wrong. And those were the, you know, those are the, so it wasn't like we were getting bored with LeBron and with the Cavaliers and Warriors, but it was probably the most consistent bet that you could make in the postseason. So I say that with this, I have zero idea who is going to win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. There is no clear-cut favorite, not even Phoenix. And as good as Phoenix is, they're the defending Western Conference champs. I'm not 100%. I'm not locking them in any way, shape, or form. And in the East is so tight that 1 through 10 are separated by, I think, 11 games in the standings. That's how tight it is. So Boston is playing hot. Miami's pretty good. When Joel Embiid and James Harden are in a 7-game series, I have no idea how you defend that, how you control that if you're an opponent. And, of course, there's always Giannis just kicking around, defending NBA champion. I'm actually thrilled for this. Thrilled for this. Because in 2019, I didn't see Toronto beating Golden State. And then I think as we saw Toronto play, we went, you know what, that Toronto team is pretty good. Maybe they could beat Golden State. And then, of course, the injuries started piling up. Durant did come back, and then he got hurt. Klay Thompson got hurt, and then all of a sudden Toronto were champs of the NBA. But I don't know who's going to win the East, and I don't know who's going to win the West. And I haven't really been able to say that in a while. I guess the bubble, but I'm going to throw the bubble out for a bit because it was kind of a, hey, let's everybody show up, and we really didn't know what. You know, remember with the bubble, and this is one thing that I've always got to remember. We stopped basketball in March and didn't resume it again until July. So we went through a period of time where we weren't really sure what the teams were going to look like, how it was going to work, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I kind of put the bubble, even I'll never take the title away from the Lakers, but as far as the predictability of it all, the bubble was sort of the outlier. So the Golden State Warriors are back in the playoffs for the first time since losing to Toronto in the NBA Finals. There is a lot to like about this. There is a lot to like. All of these teams are dangerous, but all of these teams have enough flaw in them to make you go, not really sure. I guess the only team that really doesn't have a lot of flaws is Phoenix. I mean, they ran away with the best record in the NBA, but I'm not 100% sure they'll go to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, it's loaded, absolutely loaded. So I think this is good for the league to have this sort of, not necessarily parity, it's kind of the wrong word, but sort of openness as to who could actually come out of both conferences. All right, it's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know what's so weird? This is one of the more iconic songs in rock history.
Yeah.
And I think of Trevor Hoffman every time I play.
I do too.
It's the first thing that comes in my head.
Yeah, I don't do that with Enter Sandman.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you on that. You're right. When I hear this, I know Trevor Hoffman's coming into the game, right?
Yeah, I because I went when I lived in San Diego. I went to many Padre games. I swear they had a different volume level for this song. They would play all the other songs, you know, and then all of a sudden this one came out. I was like, oh, they just cranked this one up to 11 because it was deafening.
Man, what a song. What a song. So Alan Popar is going to join us at 8:40 this morning, Central Time, 9:40 Eastern. He covers the Miami Dolphins. And we're going to talk about the Dolphins, and we're going to talk about their Tyreek Hill.
The bizarre love triangle.
Yeah, exactly. And this story that we talked about last week, that Ben Volin in New England, in Boston, reported on about Tom Brady getting a minority ownership of the Dolphins, and that he was going to eventually become the quarterback, and it all fell apart thanks to Brian Flores. But one of the things we were going to ask him was, is there any more information locally on Dwayne Haskins? Are they uncovering new information as to, again, why he was trying to cross four-lane highway at whatever? What time was it, like 5 in the morning or something like that?
4:30, 5:30, something like that.
And he told you no, right?
He said the only thing he knows is that he crossed the highway.
That's it. And that's really bizarre because usually local media will get onto it. National media sort of clamps on to whatever local media is uncovering.
National media covers the big story, and if there's no other details, they go away.
Yeah, and then local they let the local media do that.
Right.
And there's nothing out.
Nothing else.
Nothing locally in South Florida onto what exactly the reasoning was behind this tragic accident that claimed the life of Dwayne Haskins. I'm telling you, it's bizarre, man. It's really bizarre. Hour two coming up next. That means the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also talk to Dan Favalli. We'll talk a little NBA as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.